From KXEI Studios in Tucson, Arizona, this is Thesis Thursday. Thesis Thursday is a program where we invite our friends from the University of Arizona to talk about their work. We ask them about their future, and we even talk a little bit about music. Joining me in the studio right now is Philip Hanick. Welcome, Philip, to Thesis Thursday.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Philip, what are you working on at the U of A these days?
I work in a pharmacology lab and we study pain. And my project specifically is on the effects of intermittent fasting. So this is a form of kind of a, not a diet, but an eating schedule where you don't eat for a certain period in the day and then your eating time is constricted. What the project is centered on is that we found mice that are on an intermittent fasting regime respond much better to opioids than mice who just eat whenever they want. The drug has much better anti-pain effects. Also, the mice don't get addicted as easily, which is always a great bonus. And they are not as constipated.
We've talked before on Thesis Thursday about circadian rhythm and how important that is to have like an established routine. All these different things that you're used to doing, like going to the bathroom or waking up or sleeping. When you talk about intermittent fasting, I mean, don't we all do that anyway when we go to sleep?
Absolutely, yeah. So that's a great point. Stress, whether it's, you know, physical in the form of injuries or whether it's emotional too, can have a huge impact on your cells. But it's interesting that you mentioned stress because intermittent fasting, in a way, yes, it does kind of decrease stress because you're always eating from, let's say, I don't know, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It is a schedule and it does decrease stress in that sense. It's a double-edged sword in a way because intermittent fasting also induces stress. When your body is not getting nutrients from outside into the body for 18 hours a day, it is considered a form of stress. But it's not harmful stress. It's not chronic stress. It's not the kind of stress where you're extremely anxious for 6 months and you get a rash on your body because of all the anxiety. It's not that kind of stress. It's the kind of stress that activates defense mechanisms in the body and your body repairs itself and does all these things to make itself as healthy as possible because you're going through a stressful period. And then afterwards, you eat and your body really relaxes. And when it relaxes like that, it's like super relaxed. So it's the stress levels in your cells are more decreased than they would be if you were just constantly eating food. And in that process, all sorts of good stuff happen to your cells. If you eat every day at 5 p.m., your body knows to release insulin, which is the hunger hormone, at 5 p.m. So your body is ready to accept that food because it already has all those, you know, hormones and enzymes that are going to metabolize the food. So that's also another idea of why it might be working so well. This is by no means, you know, medical advice or anything of that nature. Intermittent fasting hasn't even really been recognized by medicine yet because it's such a new concept. And also this is in mice. So we're doing these experiments in mice. So there's a question of how translatable that's going to be to humans.
So what do you think you're going to do after you graduate?
Hopefully, I'll get to go to a university somewhere either on the Upper East Coast or the West Coast and pursue a PhD in neuroscience or, depending on each individual department of the universities that I'm applying to, I might pursue a pharmacology PhD. But neuroscience looks like the primary candidate for right now.
There's just so much to learn.
Yeah, we're living in kind of a golden age for neuroscience because people have been asking these questions for so long, and now we finally have the technology to answer those questions. Like we have, you know, electrophysiology, where you literally go into a single brain cell and stimulate it with electricity, and then you can record what happens. We also have, you know, MRIs, we have genetic tools. We have all these amazing tools that can help us explore neuroscience like we've never done before.
Do you ever listen to music?
I do. I love music. EDM, a lot of bass,
yep.
A really good rhythm. Yeah, that's the kind of music I like.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming to KXEI, Philip.
Of course, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.